So, Tony, you are an existing community board member. You're looking to come back.
For my third term.
For your third term. So you obviously feel like it's been worth it.
Yeah, I can see over the two terms already, I can see the changes that have happened. You know, the first term was really about reinvigorating the relationship with the council, you know, moving from an adversarial, really focused on, you know, potholes and the minutiae, the small things, to actually working together and being more of a governance role in terms of holding the council to their own standards and procedures and you know, holding them to account for what they're meant to be delivering to our ratepayers, to our town.
So you see, even though it says Waikato District Council, Raglan Community Board on the label, you see the community board as representing the community toward the council.
Oh, totally. You read the Local Government Act and that, and community boards are meant to be the voice of the community back to the council.
Okay.
Because, that, you know, we in the past, we used to be our own council. You had the Raglan County Council. Mm. And so, you know, people like me on the community board would have been your actual council, and you would have been able to talk directly to them, and the council, Raglan County Council, would have engaged contractors to, you know, repair roads and repair stuff around. Yeah, exactly. And so by amalgamation, that got removed away from the small communities, and that's why community boards were put in. And that's a key thing of community boards, is to demand the authority, the empowerment to actually take control a bit more from the council to make sure stuff is happening in your community.
Yeah. But you guys don't have, like, you can't dictate to them. You don't have any power in that regard.
No, and that's the problem. So that's why you have to use their own systems and procedures and documentation, because it's all there to actually hold them accountable to what the government and the Local Government Act requires from them.
So you have done a lot of reading in this role.
Yeah. Oh, big time. You know, people think, oh, it's just the you know, 2-3 hour meeting that we have once a month. There's a lot of time, you know, to prepare before it, to ask the right questions, and make sure that the staff and council are moving forward in areas that we want to. And we've actually, this last term, we've expanded it a bit more so that we're actually, we have made submissions on behalf of Raglan, under the Raglan Community Board letterhead, to central government policies and that, like the Freedom Camping Act.
Well, that's very relevant around here.
Exactly. Yeah. Because we wanted our voice as a community that is impacted to be heard directly at central government. We didn't want it watered down modified.
That's the exact phrase. That watered down was the exact phrase that was in my head before you said that.
Mm-hmm.
So we all we certainly all feel it, obviously, here.
Yeah, because we still have, we have a goal that we get the different departments of the council to come to our meeting and have deep dive sessions with them, because we still don't really know, you know, what is the planning department, you know, have in plan, no pun intended, for their vision of Raglan. You know, it's,
did their planning department have one? Because I worked with them.
Well, that's the problem. We don't have, you know, we can't seem to get it out of them. You know, where do they see infill housing going in? You know, where do they see high-rise and higher density housing going in? Where do they see Raglan expanding out to?
Okay.
You know, I really expect them to you need to know that, so that you're not approving different consenting requests in a hodgepodge, you know, manner.
Mm. Hey, look, I want to get into all these details, but I also want to do the bit, because it's a candidate interview, and so we want to hear a little bit about your story and, you know, the stuff that's happened in your life that you think is relevant to being on the community board.
So, you know, bred and born in Rotorua, and then went to university, did chemical engineering, worked in the pulp and paper industry in New Zealand over at Kawerau, and then in Malaysia, and then 10 years in Canada.
Right.
That's how I became a Kiniwi. That's how I met
Is that what you're called?
Yeah, I have dual citizenship. And right. I've just come back from 2 months. We purchased a cabin in bad timing, 2020. And so I've been locked out of cabin for 2 years.
You guys couldn't go and see it.
Couldn't go see it. Oh. So just come back and it was really good. And then basically, out of the doom and gloom of the pulp and paper industry, which was a true commodity, you know, we were making print, which is for newspapers, and people don't read newspapers anymore.
I just got told by the Chronicle that they're having to source their paper from somewhere else. The mill
in Kōrero has shut down, and so...
Which is ridiculous in New Zealand.
I know. But anyway, and we also made the paper for telephone directories, and people don't use telephone directories anymore.
Yeah.
It's a true sunlight dying industry, and the choice was either sell my soul to the oil and gas industry and move to Alberta where it's plus 40 in summer and you have these biting flies to minus 40 in winter, or lifeboat back to New Zealand. And we chose to lifeboat back to New Zealand, and I chose that I needed a company that is going to be around, and I currently work for Fonterra in a sustainability role. My task is to decarbonize Fonterra's emissions.
It's easy when you say it quickly.
You say it very quickly, and it's very, very, very hard. And in that role, 50% of my time is spent in Wellington engaging with government departments and industry groups to ensure that and I really go into it as a New Zealand Inc. You know, what is good for New Zealand, you know, not specifically what is good for Fonterra. We need everybody to transition away from fossil fuels as fast as possible. But the big thing that we have right now is, resources, people. You know, there's not enough electricians. There's not enough construction people, engineers. And
well, where'd they all go, Tony?
Well, it's not that...
Nobody can answer this question.
Well, they really didn't go anywhere. A fair chunk went overseas and that, but it's that big sucking sound of the whole globe is looking for these resources.
The people before COVID, we had enough people.
Yeah.
Now we haven't.
Yeah, no, it's about what is your steady state? So like our boiler manufacturers, you know, we're making maybe one boiler a year. Now, to do decarbonisation, to switch to biomass boilers or electric boilers and that, they're having to do like 5 boilers a year. And it takes nearly 40 people to build over 18 months, design and build a new boiler. And that's the problem, is the ramp up.
Right. So that's a microcosm of every industry probably at the moment.
Exactly. Yeah. Every industry.
Yeah, okay. So back to the community board. The current chairperson is leaving. The deputy chairperson... Dennis, I said to him, would you like to be the chairperson? He said, no, he doesn't want a bar of that. Maybe you would be. That was what he said on the radio.
I heard that.
You heard that?
And I gave him the gears about that.
Are you going to be?
No.
Unfortunately, put yourself forward for that?
No. Unfortunately, really? You have to have the ability. Again, as I said, it's not just the meeting. You know, you need to be going to the infrastructure meetings over in Ngāruawahia. There's a lot of separate, and the way Raglan Community Board is run, where we're doing projects and that, you know, you need to be able to attend those meetings, have workshops, reach out to different groups within the community.
You haven't got the time.
I've got a full-time job with Fonterra, and you know, I fit the community board meetings around that, and they're very good at letting me do that. But, you know, the chair, unfortunately, it really is a role. It is a job.
Who does that leave? That's might want to, I think there's going to be normally there's a fight over who becomes the chair.
Well, but I don't want
but
to
I
put,
feel but, like it's going to be a fight over who doesn't become the chair.
But that, every single time, that has been the first question, is who can dedicate the time? You know, Bob... Yeah, it was really good being able to dedicate his time to go over and participate in the workshops, the meetings, the regular meetings, and ensure that our voice was heard directly at those meetings to back up Lisa.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Gabriel had that opportunity.
She cited busyness as one of the reasons she's stepping down.
Yeah, so. Because she has a full-time job of Raglan naturally.
And a family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Two full-time jobs, really.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, we'll see who gets re-elected and then who can dedicate the time to it.
Okay, all right. Well, that hasn't cleared that up, but we'll move on anyway. All the mayoral candidates are talking about delegating powers to community boards. You think that's a good idea?
I think it's an excellent idea. You know, as I said, there is no difference between us, the current Raglan Community Board or the future Raglan Community Board, and the Raglan County Council or the actual councillors around, you know. We're all human beings. We're all got the same different skills to bring to the to the table. You know, it really isn't that they're any better or different from us. So bring it on. If a councillor around the council table can drive, you know, spending of ratepayers' money and that in the correct fashion, and then why can't a community board do that?
So that people are talking, because we've had quite a few of these discussions, and they're saying a lot of it will depend on the capability of the community board. And you've talked about having, you know, time limits for you and a lot of the board members. It needs a staff. Like, you look at Thames Coromandel District Council, they have a town manager. Like, they went about it properly. I'm wondering if we're going to get like a half and half thing, that just more power to the community board but no extra capacity to deal with it, and it might not. That might not be very good.
No, it's, again, the councillors don't actually do the actual, work of the delegation. Councillors are a governance structure, and the community board is a governance structure. We're already paying for the resources in the staff of the council.
Yeah.
You know, so it's about, you know, an example would be, contracting of grounds upkeep in Raglan.
Yeah.
So as it currently happens, the council manages that and engages and provides papers to the councillors to say, hey, this is where we're going out to tender and all of that.
Yeah.
So instead, provide that to the community board and allow the community board to have the input and say of how the grounds are to be kept and we kind of did push really hard to make sure that the money stayed in Raglan. That's how we have instead, because we used to have City Care doing all of our work, which was owned by another council.
It's one of the more bizarre things that's happened, and
thankfully we now have Raglan Lawns doing it, and that's an example of, okay, we didn't have the delegated authority, but we fair thumped the table and say we've got a good company here that can expand, because they needed to expand to actually do the task. But
And it was really good to see a discussion about social, what they called social procurement, which I didn't really understand the phrase, but basically Raglan Lawns and Extreme Waste are really good examples
exactly
of that.
And here at the hall, you know, using Stendi, like we're constant, and it's a constant,
because you're on the hall committee.
I'm on the hall committee as well, and so it's a constant pressure against the council. You know, it's very easy for staff just to say, "Oh, we'll get the council trades contractors to do that." You know,
which means driving from Hamilton,
which means driving, you're paying for that, and the dollars are leaving Raglan, and so you have to say, "Oh, no, we have a contractor. They're in the system. They're met all of the requirements," because that is one of the hurdles. It's a good hurdle and a bad hurdle, is that they have to, you know, we still have to have them meet the health and safety and financial requirements, commercial requirements.
So they've got
of
to have
the
their,
council.
They've got to have their paperwork in order. I know, that's always a challenge.
It is a challenge, but you just work through. You say, hey, these are some of the vendors in Raglan. Let's, as a community board or a hall committee or Papahua Park, committee board, you know, work through getting them approved so that they can just step in and tender for projects and win awards
And I know there's also things like preferred contractor status, like
exactly.
Extreme has that, because there is no one to, you can't do a competitive tender. There's no one. There's no one else
exactly.
that does what they do.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And so they have to work.
But you really have
a different way.
You really have to watch it. Like I've heard of, you know, how waste management came into the other Waikato district communities and that, and you know, they don't have the level of recycling and waste diversion.
No, they're not wired for that. It's not in their DNA. Really.
Well, it also costs more. you know, and it's more labor intensive, and more staff is more headaches. And so big corporations don't actually like that. And, you know, they have a stake in the landfill, and so they get over $150 a ton for every ton that goes through the landfill, and they're not interested in green waste diversion, because they want that waste to go into their landfill, be turned into methane, and then they run it through a generator. So you've paid for it to go into the landfill, and then they're making energy, electricity off the back end, selling it as a profit.
So you pay to give them the fuel that they use.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they've done well. We've got to say, hey, so you work for a big bureaucracy, and you've worked for some other big bureaucracies, because Fonterra is huge. Sometimes people describe New Zealand as being Fonterra's company town. So it's just given
I'm
indication.
Smiling.
Yeah, you're smiling. You're not their PR guy, so we won't worry about that. The reason I'm talking about bureaucracies is people are always complaining that council isn't responsive enough, and that it's, I mean, people really slag councils off, but there generally is a consensus that they're not well enough organised to serve the community. That's what the community is saying. Are we expecting too much from a bureaucracy with councils? This is what I want to know.
We are.
Because everywhere is complaining.
Yes, we are. It is, even as a community board embedded in the community, tasked with representing the community, it is really hard to get the community to engage. You know, the problem I have is the council has a consultation document standard, and it says, you know, we will consult on this and various levels of consultation, and we constantly butt up against them. We say, well, why did you not consult? And they say, oh, it wasn't a big enough issue. But
how do they know it's not a big
enough
issue?
Exactly, if they don't consult. And consultation takes time and pre-planning. And that's the biggest issue, I think, that is driving the unhappiness of council. It's not the bureaucracy. It's just that it's hard to engage with them. It's hard to get, and that's why we wanted the department managers to come to our meetings, because it's hard for us to engage with the staff that are making the decisions, to get our messaging across. So it's hard for us to consult and engage as a community board directly into them. Think about the average person on the street, how hard it is to get their voice heard. And, that is one message that I really want Raglan to take away is when you hear that we're having sessions in the community, and that please engage. And you don't it doesn't have to be actually there at the session. Just drop us a line. All of our email addresses are online. We're very approachable. Hey, I'm even in the phone book,
Right. Such as it is.
Yeah, such as it is in Raglan.
Well, in fact, the Raglan phone book's quite handy. It's just it's a little thing, and you can flick through it really quickly, not like the old white pages. Yeah, it's... Can you use technology, maybe? Could we have... Are people going to come up with some kind of voting system? Well, not necessarily vote, not a strict voting system, but some way of using technology to get input?
Yeah, I wish there was. We have a lot of smart people in the community. And, I used to be on Facebook and on the Raglan notice board and that, because that was key to helping, to engage with the community. But over the last 2 years, I just had to remove myself because it just become so toxic, and that.
You're not the first person to say that.
And it has, disconnected me from what people are saying, even though it could be an echo chamber.
Yeah.
It is really hard. So we need to, and having young people on the community board like Kitty and that, we need to figure out how to use new stuff. Technology to engage with the community. We've used our website as a community board. We've really done a lot of work on refreshing our website and making our website be the place where people can go and find out about the People and Places project or the Wharf project. We've done submission forms through there. But we can't leave behind our older generation in the community that don't use computers.
Well, no, you have to go out on all the different media forms these
days.
Yeah, there's so many.
We still use the Chronicle, to reach out to people. Please, you get the Chronicle in your letterbox. please have a leaf through and make sure you're not missing out on anything. It's not like old Granny Herald and that. It truly is connected to our community. Take a few minutes read it.
You'll see people you know in there, which is one of the cool things about it. Yeah, yeah. Everyone's talking about housing. Tony, can you fix housing from the community board?
No. Anybody who says they can, you know, it is...
No one has been that foolish yet.
No, yeah. Thankfully. But it's coming back to that planning discussion, you know it is the community board's, you know, I see it as community board's role to engage with both the council, the regional council. You know, it's a bit disappointing to hear the regional council go, oh, we have nothing to do with, you know, housing. Well, you do have an impact on the RMA and Resource Management Act, which is a key part of if you want to develop a block of land for tiny homes and that. Look, I look back at it and go, back in the 30s, the Depression, and that Kaingaroa Forest was planted as a make work project, and there were lots of, we used to at school go to the Rainbow Mountain Waiatapu camp, and all of the little cabins that we slept in as kids at school camp, they were single men cabins. So the government of the time, you know, built all of these single men camps throughout New Zealand to house men that were working on planting the forest, and we're reaping the benefits of those forests. And so all this pushback against tiny homes and that, I think, is totally false. You know, is it the developers getting in there and saying, no, we want that land for, you know, expensive houses?
I think it's just inertia. Like, I had this experience, and I'll bore the listeners with it again, where there are about three of us trying to submit to the council district plan, which is just about done with now. And it was about the Raglan, you know, Raglan urban environment. And a lot of it was like keeping the character. But then as time wore on, the housing crisis became more apparent. And we tried to get the word affordable in there. And Whangaroa Raglan Affordable Housing Project tried to get the word affordable in there, and we went through a process that feels like a farce now. We spent hours on Zoom, and staff wrote up sections for the district plan, and then at the last minute they all got pulled out by higher up staff members, and the commissioners never saw it. Now, they took it out in the belief that the commissioners would have rejected it, so that was annoying.
But that's an example of how we need to engage with the staff. You know, the staff are making decisions on our behalf without actually consulting with us or engaging with us. And that is the frustration that I have, is that, you know, staff are not, you know, representing the communities.
The staff member we were working with was.
Yes.
But she had the rug pulled out from under her.
Exactly. So so that's why it's important to remove the grey. Get stuff in writing. You know, and you're doing the right thing and trying to get it into the district plan, because that becomes their Bible, and it makes it really hard for them to draw outside the lines.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Tony, we are out of time.
Thank you very much, Aaron.
Next interview's here. Do you want to give us your spiel? Do you have a spiel about why people should vote for you? I'm making everyone answer the question, though.
I do not have a spiel.
You have a spiel?
You know,
Can you make out one on the spot? Why should people vote for you?
No, I won't.
New Zealanders are so hard to deal with.
I'm sitting on the fence because, you know, community board member, I therefore am sitting on the hall committee, representing the community board on the hall committee, and I'm sitting on the Raglan Naturally Trust.
Yeah.
And in that role, I'm their treasurer. So both of those roles, and I'm currently chair of the hall committee, both of those roles take quite a bit of time. So it's kind of like, if I don't get voted in, I will have more personal time.
Oh, I see. Well, folks, it's up to you, I guess, then, about whether you want whether Tony deserves a break or not. I don't think so.
Yeah, people, you know, talk to 20 people, and you know, not about the candidates, but just getting out there and voting. Your vote is your voice. You know, select the council, the mayor, the community board that you want.
And I guess for the perspective of the politicians over the hill, if we have a big turnout on our vote here, then they got to pay attention to that.
Yeah, every year that we have more people voting percentage-wise, you know, puts more weight on what we're saying at the table.
So I heard a message coming through from someone. I can't even sum that up in my head. Many of the staff are genuinely committed to their community. In fact, that's what I wanted to say earlier too. The staff who live here, just by dint of the fact that they live here and understand the community, do a better job for our community. And there's something in there. I think we should invite all the staff to live here.
Yes, exactly. No broad generalizations.
Yeah.
As I say, we need to get the procedures and the governments locked down so that there is no ambiguity.
Okay. Yeah. All right, Tony. Thanks heaps for coming in this morning.
Thanks a lot, Aaron.
And good luck. All right, folks, time to have a break, and we'll be back with Stephanie Philp in just a moment.